So let me pray for our offering and pray for Laura as she prepares to come. Gracious God, the one who has so freely given to us, the one who gives abundantly, the one who gives beyond measure. We come before you humble, recognizing that there is so much that we hold on to and so much that we cling tightly to. And I'm so thankful, Lord, for the gift of melody and the gift of music, the gift of song that allows us to express those things that are deep within us. And I pray that through the gift of worship, God, you have, even if in some small way, you've reoriented our hearts and used it to stir our affection for you. And we just pray for more of that. God, we long to be available for you. We're so thankful that you're a God who meets us right where we are, who loves us right where we are, but who is always willing to call us into more. So I pray that you would take what is offered this morning, whether it is an offering of our hearts, an offering of our time, our talent, our treasure, whatever it may be. God, that you would multiply it in the way that only you can, and that you would use it for your kingdom. God, you would use it for within our very midst to help us live more faithfully into who you've called us to be as a church, that lives may be transformed. God, we pray for Laura as she comes. We're so thankful, God, for the heart that you've given her for this world, the community around us, and Lord, the global community. God, for the reflection of Jesus that she is in that. And thank you for the word that you've placed on our heart. I pray that you would give us ears to hear it, God, that we wouldn't leave this place unchanged. That as your word is spoken, God, that it would penetrate us to the deepest parts of who we are, that it would be, as it says of itself, alive and active. We love you and we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Friends, it's always a joy to get to worship with this part of the Boone UMC family, and especially to be in Crossroads. I've been able, the last couple years, I think, to preach a couple times in the sanctuary, but it's been a few years, I think, since I've been in Crossroads, and what a gift to be with you all this morning, and especially on this mission celebration weekend. It's been a great weekend so far. I know I see many faces that were out with us yesterday, if you weren't there, you got to see some of the pictures from that. A beautiful celebration of how we're loving our community and inviting all to discover life in Christ. And this morning, I want to start with a story that starts in a difficult place, because I think so often this is how God comes into our lives and brings hope, is from starting in a place of difficulty. From those low lows, sometimes is where we can most see that God has something for us beyond that. So I want to start with a story of a young man named Samuel. Samuel is 23 now, but when he was 18, his parents left, and he found himself on his own trying to raise his three younger siblings. They all had to drop out of school. They had to beg on the streets to survive, and usually they were able to get enough to eat one meager meal a day. But doing this begging, they became outcasts in their community, and they were too ashamed and rejected to even be able to find a place at church. Then, one day, after they'd been living this difficult life for about 2 years, someone came and told them about a program called Zoe. Through Zoe, the siblings came together with other young people who were in similar situations. And there, they found hope. They were invited to dream about the future that God might have for them. And then they learned skills and got resources to help make those dreams reality. They planted crops together with the other young people, and they got training to start their own small businesses, and they learned about and they felt God's love for them. They worked together with this group of young people for 3 years, and by the end of that time, all the younger siblings in Samuel's family were able to be back in school, and now they eat three good meals a day. And they're part of a local church where they feel loved and accepted. And what's more, they are now reaching out supporting and even employing other vulnerable people in their community. A group of kids who once could not support themselves at the time of their graduation from the Zoe program have gone on to support 7 people in their community in need, helping them grow crops and build a kitchen garden and repair their homes. They helped an elderly woman in their community to plant beans. During their graduation ceremony, which I think we'll see a picture of on the screen, they were even able to provide school supplies to some other children in the community who weren't yet part of Zoe, but they were able to give them the school supplies so that they could stay in school and be successful. This group has had such success in their small businesses that they have not only now been able to provide for themselves and their families, but they have hired 30 other community members to work with them in their businesses, helping those people to now have dignity and to be able to provide. As others were sent out to bring in Samuel and his family and the other young people and help them thrive, they are now part of paying it forward, helping others to find and to know that hope that they find in God, and that hope that they now are able to live and have what they need. Boone UMC has partnered with Zoe for several years now, and for the past 3 years, we partnered with that group you just saw, and in it, there were 75 children from 29 households who came together and found community and are now able to have their needs met by their own work and to provide for others. And soon we'll be partnering with a new group, and that positive cycle will continue. Though these children live on the other side of the world, they are part of how we are living out our mission as Boone UMC of loving our community and inviting others to discover life in Christ, because we have been alongside them through that journey. They also help us to see what it means to live out our scripture reading for today. If you were with us in worship last week, we had combined service in the sanctuary, and it was a beautiful Sunday together, and we heard a story from early in John's gospel where Andrew, who's a disciple of John the Baptist, brings his brother, Simon Peter, to meet Jesus. And they both come to be followers of Jesus. In the weeks ahead, we're going to kind of do a deep dive into Peter's story and follow his journey as a disciple and how that might connect with us as disciples or as people who are wanting to know more about what it means to follow Jesus. This week, though, we're going to kind of zoom out a little bit and get a glimpse of where this is all leading. That Peter and the other disciples would not just be followers of Jesus, so they will be that for their whole lives, but that they are also called to be leaders, people who are sent out to bring in others and to continue giving witness to who Jesus is and what God is doing, trying to accomplish here on earth. As Vern said last week, the Gospel of John kind of tells the story a little differently than the other three Gospels, and so our passage this morning we're about to read is Jesus is commissioning his final instructions to his disciples, but it sounds a little different than it does in some of the other Gospels, and it's even sort of combined with a Pentecost moment where they receive the Holy Spirit to empower them to continue this work that Jesus had begun, and all of this happens on the day that Jesus is raised from the dead, and they've heard about this, and that's kind of where our scripture picks up. So invite you to follow along as we read from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 22. It was still the first day of the week, parentheses, that's the day that Jesus was resurrected. Still the first day of the week, and that evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors, because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And when the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." God, may this same Spirit that the disciples received from Jesus on that night long ago be upon us today as we listen for how God is sending us out to love and to serve. Amen. I think it's incredible when you think about it that we are invited to be sent out to continue the work that Jesus Jesus, who is the fullness of God in human form, was sent to do. It's a big ask. And I think it's kind of a risk that God takes in inviting us and including us in this work of bringing about God's reign, of bringing God's peace and God's kingdom on earth. Yet here we are. This is what we are invited to. This is what we believe it means to be followers of Jesus, that we continue the mission, continue to live out and live into this story of God's love for the world. And that's part of what we are celebrating this weekend, that Jesus continues to come to us, even in the midst of uncertainty, even in the midst of fear that might be swirling all around us. Jesus comes to us and says to us, just like he said to those disciples, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." By that same Spirit that the disciples received, we too are empowered to continue the work that Jesus was sent to do, teaching and healing and feeding and building beloved community and being with those on the margins and pointing to God's kingdom coming on earth. We are the church. And often, what do we call the church? We call it the body of Christ, which points to the fact that we are the ones who the Spirit is enabling to carry on Jesus' mission. That is what we are called to do. And we do this in so many ways. We do it personally, in our work, in our volunteer endeavors, in our daily living. We seek to join and follow Jesus on this mission. Whenever we listen and are present with those who are struggling, whenever we extend care and compassion to another, when we speak to and share the hope that we have in God, we are living this out. As a church, too, we come together to teach and to feed and to bring healing and hope, to tangibly show signs of God's love for the world, just like so many of us did yesterday as part of our great day of service. And one of the things that I love so much about this church, about Boone United Methodist, is that we live this out, both ourselves as individuals, and we seek to join together, not just as a church family, but even to come alongside others and support them on their journeys of living and loving like Jesus, of being sent out in Jesus' name. We do this by supporting mission partners like Zoe, who, as you just heard, is doing amazing work in sharing God's love and bringing holistic hope to young people around the world in the midst of really difficult situations. We do this through many, many other mission partners. And for the past 10 or 15 years, you might have heard, we support our mission partners in large part through something we've called Faith Promise Missions Giving. It's kind of a above and beyond offering that we've had. And usually this weekend is when we've prayed about how God might be inviting us to be part of that. And we've made pledges, and that 100% of that has gone to missions. This year, we're going to do things a little differently. Our missions giving is all being folded into our ministry plan, our general budget, and it'll be part of the Because We Care generosity initiative over the next year. And still, our goal is to give the same level of support or even increased support to these partners, both internationally and locally. So if you're interested in seeing the details, the numbers of who are all the different people we support and how do we do that, there's a handout that you can pick up after the service that has some of the, that has our budget from this year as well as what we anticipate for next year. And I hope if you take a look at that, you can see how deep and how wide our church's support goes in joining God's mission in the world. But I want to take a little time now to give a glimpse of some of the ministry partners that we have been supporting and will be supporting in the upcoming year, so that we can see not just how we are called and sent, though we definitely want to see that, but also how we're enabling others to be sent out in Jesus' name to continue the work he did in ways that we as individuals might not be able to do, but together we're able to support these things. One of our new partners that I'm really excited about this year is a group called Quad W Tarime, which works in Tarime, Tanzania, and it's brought together a group of young people who are both Tanzanians and folks from North America, both the U.S. and Mexico, and they live together there in Tanzania in community, and they show love to their neighbors, showing up to neighbors who are struggling, going through difficult times, and they're making disciples. This is a United Methodist ministry, so they take as their mission our mission statement as United Methodists to follow Jesus and make disciples of Jesus for the transformation of the world. And so there's a short video clip. I'm going to invite you to see a piece of it that introduces us to some of this team and gives a glimpse of their life together. But it also, I think, speaks to how we can do this in our own lives here without even leaving our own community. They have some really wise words about what it means to love our community. And so
so thankful and grateful to be the member of Kwadida Brutarime, because it changed my life as a youth, and it gave me the chance to change other people's lives, especially the youth one.
Quad W has taught me the value of living in a community and being involved in the lives of my neighbors. As Americans, we tend to live alone and keep to ourselves. But since I've begun living in this community, I've started to realize that as Christians, we are called to be involved in one another's lives and to go out and meet our neighbors and to show them love.
I heard a wise man once say that the kingdom of God grows at the rate of relationships. And here at Quad W, we are so blessed to be able to see that come into fruition. We get to see our neighbors and our friends be impacted by the Holy Spirit and Christ change their lives because we have a fruitful relationship with them that we can see change every day. And their Christian walk is growing, growing. We get to be there beside them through that here.
I have learned a lot being here in Tarime, but one of my favorite things to do is to visit people in need or those who are sick or disabled. I love showing them how God loves them the same way He loves others, because sometimes it seems like they have been forgotten by their families or the church. Not many people pay attention to them, but I think they need to know God loves them and He sees them too.
I'm so thankful for Quad W Tarime because it has helped me to grow spiritual, and it is helping our neighbors to know and then grow spiritual by knowing God and believing God.
So in this group's sensitivity to not wanting to broadcast video and photo of their neighbors, you just saw them in their home talking about the work they do. But over the past year, they have been really fulfilling this mission of building community with neighbors, of making disciples. They have been part of starting 16 different house churches that have brought up 97 new disciples in Christ. They've partnered with their local United Methodist Church there in Tanzania to run a camp for 94 vulnerable teen girls from their area, where the girls came together for several weeks and were able to get through a difficult thing that they were facing. They are living as a sent people. As Jesus was sent to live and love in community around Him, they are continuing that work in their daily lives. And we get to be part of it as supporting them and helping them do that. The same could be said of our partners with Dreaming for Change, who you heard a little bit about in the mission moment. Similar things are happening in Real Love Ministries that works in Haiti, and we have folks from our church involved in that. We have had the opportunity during the from 10 to 11 this morning to hear from some of our friends with African Girls Hope Foundation about the amazing work that they are doing. All of these groups are sent out in their communities. They are feeding and teaching and bringing healing and hope, continuing Jesus' mission in their corner of the world. But it's not just in faraway parts of the world that this is happening. It's happening here in our community too. Some of you maybe heard about or participated in our summer literacy camp this summer. We're here for 5 weeks. We had 43 kids coming every day to eat breakfast and lunch, to have high-quality literacy instruction, and to do enrichment activities, and they had fun as they were coming and learning together. And one of the most beautiful parts is that our staff and our volunteers were able to show them love, help these students, yes, build confidence in their reading skills and confidence as young people, but also to know that they were loved, that they had a place of belonging here. Last week, we got to hear from and celebrate how App Wesley Foundation is making and growing disciples. I know some of you are or have been part of that, and was so thankful to have many students come out with us as part of our great day of service yesterday. We had over 106 people. That was the number of people I could count I know some people showed up and I maybe weren't captured in the pictures. I went through, tried to count everyone in the pictures. I got 106. I think it was more, though. That's our biggest one yet, and that's something to celebrate, friends, because we are coming together and going out across three counties. We had groups in Avery. We had a group in Ashe. We had many, many groups here in Watauga County showing God's love through our sweat and our prayers and our joining together. Another way we support young people being sent out in mission is through support of one of our own, Eric Heaston, who works nationally with Crew's Gospel in Action efforts. And last year, through his work, he helped 1,400 students and faculty, including 25 from App State, to be sent out on mission in Latin America. They were bringing clean drinking water and messages about Jesus, the water of life, to people around the world. Others participate in Jesus' work without even leaving their college campuses, doing the mental health and Jesus studies and having other conversations with peers, continuing the ministry that Jesus did, healing, teaching, building community. And they do this on their campuses and in their communities. I could go on and on about the ways that so many of our mission partners are doing wonderful work and how God is doing amazing things through these partners. And I hope you can see how in each of these ministries, people are continuing to fulfill the call that Jesus gave to the disciples in that room on the day of his resurrection. That they are living and loving like Jesus, living as sent people, trying to follow and journey with Jesus each and every day. Their stories can inspire us, both because through your generosity and support, we are part of the work that they are doing, but also because their stories hopefully help us to see ways that we can continue to see Jesus at work in our lives. So I wonder how you feel God calling you. Is there a local ministry or an agency that you feel led to volunteer with? Maybe it was one you got to see for the first time yesterday. Maybe it's one you've heard about, but you think, maybe I want to know a little more about how I could get involved. Is there a mission team that you feel called to be part of or even to lead? Or is there another way the Spirit is nudging you, maybe to help start a new ministry here? Maybe it's something you've seen a need and you say, I don't think anything is happening. I don't see this need being addressed, but I think there's something we as a church could do. I'd love to have those conversations with you. You know, as we're thinking about listening to God and being attentive to what the Spirit is saying to us, I'm super excited that we have a new twice a month worship offering that is starting in our church this Friday at 7 p.m. You may have heard Jeff and Carrie McLean are responding to an invitation they felt from the Holy Spirit to begin a worship service that will be contemplative. It'll be a time of prayer and reflection and communion. It's an opportunity for us to set aside intentional time to listen, to become more aware of God's presence with us and to respond to what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. So this could be a great opportunity at the end of this week to see where the Spirit might be sending you. If you're already part of one of these ministries that we've highlighted, or you already volunteer with one of our local partners, or just are already trying to be a shining light, a loving presence to those around you, God's Spirit might still be inviting you to something within that, to pay attention. Maybe there's a relationship you're being called to deepen, maybe a shift in how you show up and are present. Or maybe there's something else, something more, something different that the Spirit is calling you to. Maybe that something will become clear to you as you pray here in worship this morning, as you spend time with God this week. Maybe there's a way you want to take a step to get involved here at the church. Maybe you feel called to pour into young people, and you could do that as a youth leader, as a confirmation mentor, as a mentor through one of our community partners. Maybe you feel called to join a prayer network, praying for these ministry partners, or doing some of the hard labor, volunteering your time and your effort to do projects that are needed around some of our ministries. Whatever it is, whatever you sense God calling you to do, know that you do not go alone. I don't know if there was a QR code just on the screen. But if you, thank you. So this QR code goes to a link that has some ideas about ways that some of our mission partners have invited us to be part of what they're doing. It asks us to be relational in mentoring relationships, to, again, put in some labor, or to do some of the behind-the-scenes work. If you aren't so into the QR codes, there's also some hard copies of the what's on the link that you can fill out afterwards and put in one of our offering plates, and we'll follow up with you about how you might get connected and respond to what you sense the Spirit doing within you. But again, know that as you feel called, you do not go alone. The Spirit goes with you, and we have been gifted with this incredible group, this church family, to journey with us. And so we can hear God say, "Peace be with you." As God sent Jesus, God is sending us. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you that you are a God who sends us out. Throughout Scripture, we see how you call your people to go and you journey with them. Whether it's down the road to a neighbor we've avoided or a long distance to an unknown land, God, guide us on our journeys as we seek to live the love that we know comes from you. Speak to us now. Show us how we can be part of the work you are doing to heal, to love, to mend this world, to make it more like you dream it to be. We pray this in your strong and powerful name.